Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Here. On the docket for today's broadcast, what does the light bulb, steam engine, and smartphone, and let's not forget the 3D printer, all have in common?
Vinegar?
Anybody? No.
Vinegar.
No. Nobody?
Vinegar, I thought.
Nobody? Anybody?
Oil?
I guess you guys can't get it.
I'm guessing.
Intellectual property rights. That's what they all have in common. They all have patents, copyrights, trademarks. And today, from the law firm of Malin, Haley, DiMaggio, and Bowen, is Mark Bowen, who is also a mechanical engineer and board-certified attorney in intellectual property law. That means he's an expert. Listen, whether you're a new business or you've been around for generations, you must listen and take notes to this very informative segment. This is information you need to know, even though you really don't know when you're going to need it. This is the first part of a two-part series. They'll be broadcast on Wednesday right here on WSBR and then simulcast also on 96.9 FM, 103.9 FM, and 740 AM. Also nationally on iHeart, TuneIn, and iRadio Now apps. We welcome those listeners. First, I'd like to introduce and say good afternoon to our legal panel hosts. Good afternoon, Gary Singer.
Hey, Phil. Good afternoon. Hey, I want to take a quick second to announce the opening of our third title office in Hollywood by the Hollywood Circle in conjunction with the law offices of Michael Ratar, who's been a guest on this show.
Right.
Is going to share a little space with us down in Hollywood. So now we have three offices, Sunrise, Fort Lauderdale, and Hollywood, for our realtor and borrower and seller friends to do closings at.
Congratulations.
You also own Gibraltar Title.
Yes, I also own Gibraltar Title, and that's what I'm talking about. And we'll be opening in Boca Del Rey here in the next few months as well for our office.
Wow. You and Jerry Greenspoon.
It's all because of you, Phil. Because you buy so many houses.
That's
I appreciate
true.
That.
And, of course, good afternoon, Gary Ostro.
Good to be here as always.
And, of course, Michael Santucci.
How you doing, Phil? I'm looking forward to talking to our guest today. I'm very familiar with his firm. They're very well respected in intellectual property. I'm sure I'll learn something. So,
he is board certified, and you also co-chair the intellectual property section for the Broward County Bar, and kind of makes you an attorney's attorney as well. You know, here's one insane example of a trademark lawsuit. You guys heard of Monster Drink. I've got a can right here, right? You've heard of Monster Drink, right? You probably haven't heard of the Monster Cable. But both think, and they filed both, that they should own the rights to the word Monster. Interesting. We're very pleased and welcome Mark Bowen from Malin, Haley, DiMaggio, and Bowen, patent, trademark, and copyright lawyers. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Philip. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, Mark, you know, with that intellectual property, with Monster and Monster, then when my wife calls me a monster, would she have to pay money to them? Is that the way it works?
Well, I don't think so, but no. you can ask.
You don't,
ask
her. Well, you don't have a defamation suit because truth is a defense.
Exactly.
That's right. Truth
yeah.
sets you free. Yeah,
I wouldn't even bother with that.
Mark, let's start off with trademark. It actually has your name in it, but what is a trademark?
Well, a trademark is a symbol. It can be a word, a logo. Even sounds are trademarks, and it identifies a source of goods or services. So a mark, when used in commerce, is a source identifier for the owner of that mark for whatever goods or services they happen to be selling.
Let me jump in here because I read this morning, and I usually make that up for content, but I'm really telling the truth today. I read this morning that a hotel in Mexico opened up called the Hotel California, and the Eagles are suing them. What do you think about that? I think that's a stretch. Hotel California sounds pretty generic to me. I heard they were promoting themselves as being related to the Eagles. I think that certainly puts them in an area of exposure. But let's just say I open a hotel, Hotel California. Problem with that?
Well, I guess it would depend on the scope of rights that the Eagles would have in the Hotel California mark. I mean, clearly it's an album. It's a well-recognized album.
And one of the greatest, longest solo singles.
You like the longest.
Yes, yeah. I do.
So if use of that name in Mexico on a hotel is likely to cause confusion, and here we're going to get into what is the law in Mexico, which is an area
not
that
existent.
I'm not licensed to preach
right.
about. But
if only there was a wall.
Essentially, the fundamentals of trademark infringement, though, are if another party uses a mark that is likely to cause confusion amongst consumers, then that is trademark infringement.
Eagles have a 20-year head start or more with the song and the album and the concept.
But it's
how
such
is a little
thing.
Freaky hotel in Mexico going to infringe upon the Eagles?
Well how's it going to cause confusion?
Look what the NFL
well, you're
does.
Confused, but
well,
you're
yeah, but not because
a lot
of that.
Of things.
Yeah, but the NFL will go after you if you use Super Bowl. They've
but
gone after small mom and pop bars.
That term is exclusive to the Super Bowl, whereas a Hotel California is not exclusive to the Eagles.
Wait, isn't that what you call your bong?
How did you know?
The fact my that, crack pipe the fact that Gary Ostro pointed out, I think that's going to be the deciding factor, is that they
that
represented themselves as being affiliated with the Eagles. They called it the Legendary Hotel. They play Eagles music.
You know
yeah,
there.
But this isn't fair because you practice this area.
Yeah, well,
it's fair.
This is just my prediction.
This is an informative show.
We're blogging about this as well, but
you know sure.
We'll see how it comes out.
I would say
if they are doing things such as that, then even under Mexican law, the yeah. Eagles may have a claim yeah. for some sort of misleading affiliation.
Sure. Damages.
But is that the same thing, Mark? Is that
Mark? I think so. Under American law, I think so.
Under American
law, agrees.
Under American law, there would be, and that would be decided under the laws of Mexico.
Yeah. Mark, so they're getting nothing, in other words. Got it.
Mark, clear this up for our listeners.
Sure.
There are many people out there that, upon first calling your firm or our firm, that they'll ask questions like, I want to patent my poem, or I want to copyright my drone, or I want to trademark my book. Give us what's really the difference between a patent, a copyright, and trademark? What do they protect?
Sure.
Good question. We've already discussed, a trademark is a source identifier. So if you have a company name or products that have names, that typically falls under the realm of trademarks. Copyrights protect artistic works, typically, expression, whether that be written, photographs, paintings, things of that nature. Software is copyrightable. And then patents protect advancements in the art, whatever that art may be. So they protect inventions. And an advancement in the art, provided it meets the standards of patentability, namely that it's new, useful, and non-obvious, would be subject to patent protection. Okay. So the client with a drone should be talking about patents.
Right. The client who invents a drone could, quite frankly, be talking about all three. Mm-hmm. There could be patent protection available for the drone itself. There could be trademark protection available for the name of the drone, the name of the company. And there could be software or copyright protection available for software that operates the drone.
Regressing back to my intelligent question, if you're going to infringe on like
a... What show is that?
Whatever show it was, I don't remember, but I'm sure it exists. If you're going to infringe or potentially infringe in an Eagle-type scenario, do it in Mexico. Would that be a fair statement? It's right there on the border. You know, it's close, and Mexican law is non-existent.
I got to go to Cancun probably 10 times over a trademark case between the Estefans and Coco Bongo that's in Cancun. I represented Coco Bongo.
Because Estefan owns a similar club at American Airlines Arena.
Bongo's Cuban Cafe,
Is that the dispute?
Yes.
And they're claiming they own the Bongo?
Yeah.
They own bongos? I don't think so. The word bongo?
Thank you. You're making my
argument.
Good
thing you weren't.
So you defended. You defended.
I defended Coco
Bongo. And you prevailed. You prevailed.
Ultimately, it was resolved because there were two business people on either side that saw that it would be
That's
better to resolve the case.
Yeah.
Let me tie that one up. Yeah. I would just advise you not to do it.
At all. No, I said if Larry Singer were to do it because he does things
I don't do anything with bongos.
Yeah. Oh, bongs, I'm sorry.
Or that. Yeah.
Leave out
your
department,
Mark. What's the strangest thing? I'm going to cut you off this time, too.
Go for
it. I'm trying to get this out. What's the strangest thing someone's tried to protect? You know, come to you to try to protect
your reputation.
You can't protect something you don't got, my friend.
There have been all kinds of strange things. People come in sometimes with something that they think may be patentable, and it just flat out isn't. Just of a historical note, some 30, 40 years ago, it was before my time. Client walked into our office and presented what ended up being the pet rock, and.
Really?
Talk about how do you protect something like that.
Was that protectable?
Well, it's a long story.
For the first 20 million it was.
I think he did receive some advice that there may be certain elements that were protectable. But he went off and made millions. So regardless, it was a good idea.
By the time they caught up, it was too late. The guy was already millions ahead, so it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Mark, what is an affidavit or declaration of incontestability in trademark law?
Sure. An owner of a federal trademark registration must do things periodically to maintain the registration. One of the things that they can do is file a declaration of incontestability, and that essentially renders a mark almost bulletproof to challenge in court. It renders the mark incapable of being canceled for various reasons. A mark, however, can always be canceled if it becomes generic. So it's not a foolproof protection for the mark, but incontestability is sort of a super status for a registration and one that every owner of a registration should make at the appropriate time.
Yeah, but how does that work? Like, if it becomes generic, like, everyone orders Cokes when they don't necessarily want a Coca-Cola. Is that still a protected mark?
Oh, yes. That's a
protected... But isn't it generic, though?
No. Coke is a fine registered mark, and it's probably one of the most well-recognized marks in the world.
And most protected, I bet.
And I'm sure they take all kinds of steps. There are circumstances where a mark can slide into genericness. You know, the marks like escalator used to be a trademark and it really has slid into the generic realm. For years, Xerox tried very hard to prevent people from using their mark in a generic sense.
I'm going to Xerox this piece of paper. If I were them, I would promote that.
They had a whole advertising campaign to try and dissuade people from saying,
which
Xerox.
Which is absurd. Because if anything, it promotes the product and becomes even more of a brand, I think.
Possibly for marketing, but bad for trademarks.
Did Coca-Cola try to sue Pablo Escobar for using the word Coke when transporting kilos? Could he have? Because Pablo's got deep pockets.
I don't think his goods were in lawful use in commerce. So.
Right. Thank you for pointing out that criteria.
That was, guys, we got to take a quick break. You're listening to Legal News and Review. simulcast on 96.9 FM, 103.9 FM, 740 AM, nationally on iHeart, TuneIn, and iRadio Now. And we're speaking to Mark Bowen, who intellectual property law attorney, is board certified. That means you're an expert, right?
That's what they say. I'm allowed to declare myself as an expert.
And I'm allowed to say that. And, you know, coming up is a big issue. You open up a business. You get a domain name. You get your business name from the state, you know, sunbiz.org, right? But are you protected? We're going to be coming right back.
Cliffhanger.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar, featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Legal News and Review is back on the air, and we're speaking with Mark Bowen, attorney with Malin, Haley, DiMaggio, and Bowen, and their patent, trademark, and copyright lawyers. They've been, their practice has been around over 48 years, but not Mark Bowen, not that long. And when we left, it's a very important question. And listen up. Again, if you've been around for generations or your new company, you got to hear this. If I get myself registered, my company, with sunbiz.org, you know, with the state of Florida, and then I go on GoDaddy and I find I actually can get a domain name. A lot of them are parked to the side, which is something for a whole nother discussion. I could be infringing on other people's rights, even though the state says, yeah, you can open up your company's name. Is that correct?
That's correct. The Florida Department of State will allow a corporate name to be registered, a corporation to be formed under a name, so long as that name is different in some sense than the other corporate names found in the database. But a corporate name in and of itself provides no ownership as to right to use the name. So that's why we encourage our clients, if you're starting a business, it's always a good idea to go see an attorney, an intellectual property attorney, and make sure you have the right to use the name.
What about if you've been around 30 years, like Gary's Gibraltar Title? It's been around for 30 years. Does he have any security with the name?
Well, trademark rights vest upon use in commerce, and so if someone like Gary has been using a mark for 30 years, Gary has acquired what is referred to as common law rights in that mark, and those rights are valid and enforceable. The ultimate question would be, does he have superior rights to someone who may challenge him as to that mark? And trademark rights vest upon use, and so it's first in time, first in right. So if Gary had been using a mark for 30 years and someone challenged him and had only been using the mark for 5 years, Gary would win.
So you think I could sue the Rock of Gibraltar?
I got a quick question. If I'm interrupting anybody, I don't apologize.
Yeah, clearly.
My question is,
spoken like a criminal defense attorney.
Thank you. I read about these cases all the time where Led Zeppelin suing somebody in some
again,
small town in East Texas. Right, I know, right?
They use monster cables, by the way, Led Zeppelin.
They do. I think they do. Who's playing their Stairway to Heaven and didn't pay royalties on it.
By
how
reading,
do they keep
he
track
means
of
watching
that
on
stuff?
TMZ, by the way.
No, I absolutely don't watch that at all. I read voraciously. I don't remember any of it, but I read it.
And drop
how do
the
they
words.
Take, keep track of that stuff?
Yeah, that's a copyright issue, and essentially,
but it's still within your expertise.
Do they have companies sure. like track that?
The issue there would be, you know, are they publicly performing the work, and that would be a violation of the copyrights of the owner of the work, provided it was unauthorized.
But how do they keep track of that
stuff?
Well, that's the question.
There are
800,000 radio stations in this country alone.
It's a good question.
Never mind the international. Yeah.
There are some licensing bodies that have rights to a vast majority of the songs that are out there, and bars, restaurants, people who want to play this music pay royalties for the right to do that.
How do they know people are playing their
music?
Right.
They investigate.
I'd be violating that stuff all day long if I owned a bar.
They investigate. Mm-hmm. I've had clients come to me, and they've received a letter from one of these entities that says, you're playing the music, you're not licensed.
So they catch one out of every 500,000.
Well, I don't know how many investigators they have, but they're, I'm sure they're pretty thorough.
I think they catch
people a lot. I hear about... because I get a lot of calls.
But you didn't hear about the other 8 million they didn't catch.
Yeah, but I get a lot of calls on that. I mean, it's all, I don't know.
I think it's a wild west atmosphere.
You know, oh, so-and-so says I'm using. So there are people out there looking. There must be companies.
But is that right?
Something.
If I own a bar and I'm playing
Led Zeppelin.
Any Zeppelin
there you
song.
Go.
Any,
you have to – this is more of a music law question, but you have to pay ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC. Those are the
three organizations
for
music. And my bar is proactively
music.
Reporting the fact that I'm playing that song, theoretically.
You don't do it, but one CSAC has a whole category of songs, the smallest one. ASCAP has another. BMI have another.
So
the
how
songwriters,
much do I pay?
The songwriters register with them, and then their songs are part of that catalog. So if you, as a bar owner, you pay $500 for this one, $300 for that one, $400 for this one, you have the right to use all three organizations' full category of music, and that's basically anything that's ever been commercially released.
But they have
commercially
no way of
released.
Auditing it.
They do.
Hey, okay,
but
Mark, I got a question for you. So we got this is an organization, ALTA. Okay. They publish the title insurance forms you have to use, right? And by state law, you have to use these forms by law. But they're charging agents a licensing fee. Can they do that?
If there are copyrights associated with the form, they can, yes.
But the state makes you use them. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, and you know, that's unfortunate. Maybe you should get that changed. But if that's the form you have to use and that form was created by someone who owns valid copyrights, then there must be permission to use, meaning reproduce, that form.
What other things would small business owners not realize about this area of law? Maybe you can tell our readers besides that. Our listeners, sorry.
Sure.
The paper.
Oh, sure. Well, no, we practice in all areas, patent, trademark, and copyright. And as I indicated, a business can have all three of those in play depending on what they're doing in commerce. So again, it's our advice that if you're starting a business that you seek legal counsel right up front. The last thing you want to do is invest heavily, open up a business, only to find that you can't use your name, you can't use your product name.
So you do like an idea checkup, basically?
Or your product is infringing. Exactly.
Oh,
we can look at all of those.
Okay. And what about existing businesses? Is it too late?
No, it's not too late. We actually offer intellectual property audits for existing businesses. Oh. We'll go in and take a look at what intellectual property the business has. And we'll see if that property is adequately protected, and if not, we'll make sure it is.
And is there certain types of business that this is more important for?
It applies to all types
really?
Of business.
Like a landscape or even a law firm?
Landscapes. Law firms, to the extent they're using the partner's name, isn't usually in such a big deal, okay. But a lot of law firms use other names, the idea law firm or whatever it may be.
Gotcha.
And so that potentially is protectable.
Now, this is the first part of a two-part series. The second part will be broadcast on Friday right here on WSBR, simulcast on 96.9 FM, 103.9 FM, 740 AM, and, of course, nationally, iHeart, TuneIn, and iRadio Now apps. And we'll be coming back next Friday, talking about copyright, patents, trademarks, issues that surround business that are very important. And Gary?
Well,
I'm sorry, Mike?
Yeah. I'd like Mike to take it
well,
out.
Well, first, how does somebody reach Mark Bowen with an intellectual property issue?
Oh, sure. Well, we're right here in Fort Lauderdale at Malin Haley DiMaggio and Bowen. We're at mhdpatents.com. That stands for Malin Haley DiMaggio, patents.com. You can email me at mdb@mhdpatents.com. And or pick up the phone and give us a call. We're at 954-763-3303.
Thanks, Mark. I want to thank you for having you on. I want to thank my co-host, Phil Bell, dirt attorney, Gary Singer, and
criminal attorney,
Gary Ostro.
Gary, you're an extraordinary attorney, yes. Both of you.
And we'll leave you with my client, my client's music, Stitches. You can find her at stitches.com, Stitches with a Z.
Yeah, I saw her on TV as well.
How you doing, girl?
It's hard to come by. I know that you have plenty, but you say that I'm different. And I'd be lying by omission if I didn't admit it. The way you treat me like a queen, yeah, I appreciate it. A tough cookie, what you call me, know how to break me down. Ain't nobody worried about loyalty, that's self-explained. You love me like I'm the only woman, yeah, that you cherish. Of course, your mother is another, that's alright with me. A man of God, I respect it, it's not hard to see. You work hard most of the time, but you make time for we. And please don't think that I don't notice how you open doors. A gentleman is what I have, no time for little boys. Baby.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for Legal News and Review. Remember, be legal.